Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
A man cannot be comfortable without his own approval. That's a quote by Mark Twain. Today, we're talking about how to stay confident in your art. So this is can be a big topic, but how do you guys stay confident? Or do you just constantly have the imposter syndrome?
I have I have days of it.
Yeah.
But to stay out of that is constantly reminding myself of what I've already accomplished. So I like to write things in my book that are like, I am a licensed artist, or I have done this, or I have done that. And then another tip that Stephanie just gave me, because I started using ClickUp this year to keep all my goal setting tasks, is to keep the completed ones up. And so I have the completed ones in a list, and I have the to-dos in a list. So that's just kind of a constant reminder of I'm making progress. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing is not to compare yourself.
Yeah.
I have a bad habit of seeing, oh, well, that's a really cute style of art. I wonder if I could do something like that.
Yeah,
let me give that a try.
Yeah. That's one thing is just to look at yourself, compare yourself to yourself. Like, mm-hmm. Where were you last year and where are you this year?
Yeah.
Where was I at the beginning of the year? Where am I now? That kind of thing.
I like that. I know one of the things that, because I get into different Facebook groups every month. I pick, you know, 5 different Facebook groups, and it is so easy to get into the comparison of like, why in the heck are they not selling like crazy? And then when you do see the ones that are selling like crazy, you can even be like, why in the heck are they selling like
exactly.
crazy? And so sometimes you just have to remove yourself from the social media and then refocus on yourself. And like you said, Rachel, mm-hmm. go back to the only person that you really should be comparing yourself to is yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're in this race by yourself. You're not racing anybody else.
Just, exactly. That's so hard.
It is
so hard, but I think that's the number one thing, to staying confident in your own art. I mean, the other things are just like reminding yourself, okay, this is why I've achieved this. This mm-hmm. is my dream, and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's another way to, mm-hmm. you know, I think stay confident in what you're doing and the path you're on. But I also
do you worry? Sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's fine.
Do you guys worry? I mean, like, I see some people who maybe had goals for last year and they're resetting them for this year, and they're like, well, I didn't even get halfway through this one.
That's me.
And like, so there go, you know, you're like, mm-hmm. well, why am I even putting this on there? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then you start
third year
going down
charm.
That rabbit hole.
I'm on my third year, one of my goals. And I finally feel like I am there. Like this is, I finally feel like this is really achievable now.
That's good.
And sometimes, I mean, that's just part of our previous episode, growing pains, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. Seeing how much my work has improved in the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree with that.
There's no way. I don't know what I was thinking 3 years ago when I put that as my goal.
So my thing is what, how do you know when you have put an unattainable goal? Like maybe you should, I hate to say it, but maybe you should expect less, you know, like give yourself a little grace. Like, okay, obviously I'm not going to be able to do it in a year. So let's start back from square one or refocus. Or how would you guys recommend something like that? Or just go keep it up there? And
well, I think the refocus, we talked about this in another episode mm-hmm. about unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. I think we all do that. Mm-hmm. And it's not just necessarily with our art. It's with everything, especially if you're an overachiever.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important to have the monthly, you know, checklist type thing, check-ins, monthly mm-hmm. check-ins with your realistic goals, have your friends to talk with and go, you know, here's what I thought I wanted and it's just not happening yet, and talk it through. I met with a girl last week and I've known her for years, and she finally is like, okay, I know exactly what I want now. And
oh, that's good.
Yeah. And so she's like, do you think that's good for me? And if this is exactly what you want, 100%, go for it. Here's my first step, the very first step that I would recommend that you take. And so we just talked through that. And I was like, okay, once you finish that one step, should take you this year. Mm. Then let's talk about next year.
Wow.
And that surprised her because, you know, she wants to be a fine artist.
Right.
And
Malika, so her one thing, her one step is going to take her all year.
Yeah, because she wants to be a fine artist. She wants to have one woman shows. And in order to do that, you need to really kind of define a couple things. Mm-hmm. One, you need to identify what galleries and what show places, venues that you want to be in. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, developing like a dream 100 list. I know Julie and mm-hmm. I talked about this dream 100 list before. I think you have too. Mm-hmm. Where you list out all the places that you want to go for, and find out all the details about them. That in itself, finding 100 venues, is going to take you probably a year of doing that research. And then the next thing is, well, you got to get big pieces ready. If you want to do a one-woman show, you've got to have the artwork behind it.
Well, and you have to have a full collection, too. So that takes that a lot takes of time.
To put together an exhibition.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then, you know, you develop the relationship. So I really kind of gave her three things. Start developing relationships with those dream 100 people and venues so that, you know, authentically get to know, like, and respect them. And then if you don't respect them, knock them off the list. Oops, lesson learned, you know, and move on.
But because not all those galleries, not all those people are going to be trustworthy or whatever.
Exactly.
We have another friend. She mailed pieces to a gallery in New York and she never got them back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, like, it was a reputable gallery. I'm putting that in air quotes, but she never got her pieces back.
Man.
I mean, that was a lot of work to put into it and ship it there. And
she's out all the cost, everything. And she probably didn't have a contract, did she?
No, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. So there's steps. I wouldn't think not.
Yeah. There's certain steps there's you got to take. And I think that all, you know, those types of things, though, having a plan and keeping a plan keep you on track. But to mm-hmm. answer your question, Rachel, about, mm-hmm. you know, reevaluating, there's no right or wrong answer to the path you're on and the journey you're taking.
Right.
It just has to work for you. Mm-hmm. If it works for you, I struggled like take my goal, for instance, the first year, I really didn't have a good plan in place because I wasn't knowledgeable enough about the industry. Mm-hmm. Hindsight's 2020. I know that now. I thought because I was being too aggressive, that overachiever in me thought that I knew what I needed to know, but I didn't know what I needed to know. So then my second year of trying to tackle this goal ended up being more about learning more about the industry and thinking, and I had already learned a lot about it. And I really thought I could tackle the goal in 3 months. Then that turned into 6 months. I don't
giggle at that.
Oh, because, you know, I go by the 10X rule. But then, you know, realizing that, no, my artwork's not quite where it needs to be to do what I need to do to meet this goal. So let me take this next year to really hone in on that artwork skill.
Okay.
A little bit more, make it a little bit more solid. And now I visually see looking at a piece of work from a year ago to a piece of work today, mm-hmm. and it's night and day.
Well, so how did you stay confident in your artwork?
My big dream.
Do you know what I mean?
And how did you recognize that you weren't ready?
Well, last year, because I had laid out all my tasks to meet that goal, and I was falling on my face to meet those tasks from a time standpoint, mm-hmm. I realized that, no, I do need to lengthen this. And my first thing was lengthening it to 6 months. And then 6 months came and I still wasn't where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, we're going to write this one off for the year. We're going to take the rest of the year to grow these areas of weakness. Mm-hmm. And then we'll pick this goal back up in 2022.
So you did like two
things. I evaluated myself.
Yeah. You evaluated yourself. You gave yourself grace to accept that you need more time. And then you continued the education to
see, that was good that you stayed positive. Really, yeah. Right.
Because you didn't give up.
Right.
I didn't give up. And it's because I lacked confidence that I was able to look at my plan, because I literally had everything. Okay. Today I'm going to do X. Tomorrow I'm going to do Y. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. it was totally blocked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't meeting that. And then it was just really looking inward at myself and saying, okay, why am I not meeting these goals? Well, A, I was comparing myself, but B, because I was comparing myself, I was learning where my mistakes were and I was taking continuing education classes to be able to critique and evaluate myself. So it was like a handful of things that all kind of mixed together. But
do you think it helps artists to join like a critique group to help them with their art and staying confident in their art? You guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least a community of some kind.
Well, and if you really know yourself and you listen to, I don't really want to say listen to yourself, but if you really know yourself, you're able to listen to yourself to understand that you're not where you need to be. Does that make sense?
It's a little bit of self-critique. Are you able to really self-evaluate?
Yeah. Is this work really worthy of being purchased?
Yeah.
And part of that is looking at old work. Like I looked at stuff from 5 or 6 years ago as I was resorting my files and archiving stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like what was this looks like? I did this in seventh grade, you know, like what was I know better than that. Like I am better than this. What was I thinking? You know, and also looking at work saying that is a really good piece. This is my composite photography, but it wasn't who I was.
I think that's really, because in my head, I'm already starting to think about all those artists that I see out there that the big circle dot.
You know,
what in the heck is that about? And that, so there's so many simplistic things out there that I don't understand how they're selling and things. But I guess that's where it kind of comes into play is they are staying authentic and true to them. That's their thing.
That's their joy, their thing.
Yeah.
And the best advice I was ever given by an art agent was people buy your joy. And your joy comes through in your art. And I think that's the difference between what I did 5 years ago, because I was trying to be an artist.
You were struggling a little
I was trying to be an artist.
I've always been an artist because I've always been in a creative field, but I was trying instead of doing.
Oh, doing it for the love of it instead of, wow, love that.
And that's where I think things changed for me in 2020 when I first, or the second year trying. Oh man, this is going to be the fourth year, not the third. Fourth year's a charm. The second year of trying to tackle that goal, that was an aha moment for me. And those words have never left my brain now. And I think that's really helped with the confidence too, because now I'm creating something that I love.
You can see the joy in your artwork.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%.
I see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I look at it.
Yeah,
so, definitely. I mean, I think that's also part of just trying to find that confidence in yourself is draw what you want to draw. Paint what you want to paint.
I mean, right now, I'm thinking back to like I called you last week or you called me and I was like, hey, how's it going? You know, usually my like, hey, what's going on? And I just called chit chat. What you doing? And you were so completely calm. I don't think I've ever heard you just so still. And you just got through drawing for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And
I got sucked into the painting vortex.
Yeah. And that's the joy. And it calmed you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a...
Do you think that helps with your self-confidence? It's just to find yourself in the painting, find your joy that you're doing 100%. As you're creating.
Well, in that particular moment too, is I knew what I was doing. I knew my process. Yeah. I knew my paints. I knew what I wanted to draw. I had done the research on that. Like, I mean, I knew all these things going into that painting that it was very calming for me. I wasn't stressing about, oh, what about this technique? Because the other thing, if anyone that's followed me for any sort of time knows that, you know, I started trying to be an artist 5-7 years ago with mixed media and acrylics and all these things that just were not jiving for me. And know that I'm trained on vellum marker and colored pencil from a school standpoint. And then going to that, and that wasn't hitting. Then I went back to my photography and I was successful with the pieces I created. And they were fun pieces to create, but they weren't me. I was coming up with an idea based on somebody else's troubles.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't creating for me. And now all I'm doing is creating for me.
Yeah, there you go. That's one thing that you just triggered in me that I just thought about. So this was a recent experience. So my mom, and if she's listening, she's on YouTube listening to this.
Hello, but, Dolly.
I know. Sorry, Mom. So my mom painted on china for years, and it's actually very well known. Well, nobody knows if you're not in the china and like china painting industry. But anyway, she's really very talented, and she saved all of her china painting paints for me and all of this stuff and the kilns and everything because she wanted me to do it. And I really tried and for like to find the joy in it like she did. And I would pour the masks and fire the masks, and I just hated it. I hated it, even though, because what I didn't enjoy about the process was the fact that something could blow up in the kiln and all that work would be for nothing. That personally bothers me. And so I know Rachel and I talked about this for a little bit with, you know, finding the joy. If it doesn't bring you joy, then you got to let it go.
Yeah.
And so I finally had that conversation with my mom, and I was like, you know, I really tried, you know, I just don't enjoy it. And I think that goes back to what you were saying, Julie, about other people setting expectations onto you about what you should find joy in.
Right.
And I felt so bad about telling her and having that conversation. But she's like, okay, well, just hold on to it for until March, and then I'll take all the stuff back. And I'm sitting there thinking, why? You're not going to do anything with it. And I'm just going to have to sell it like in like 20 years, hopefully longer than 20 years. I don't know. But she doesn't paint anymore on china.
Yeah. But it's a piece of her, and it's something that used to bring her joy. Yeah, so
you can't let it go.
No, you want to share it. Yeah.
I get that now. And that's hard.
So what do we tell? How do you approach an artist who has just reached rock bottom with their confidence and they're like, I can't do it?
My first question for them is, what, it's kind of twofold. What's your big dream and what actually brings you the joy?
Right.
Are you trying to be something that you're not meant to be, or are you letting something else hinder what your dream is?
Yeah, I would say at least just take a break, reevaluate. Ooh, I rhymed. I'm a poet and didn't know it. But reevaluate, like focus, like what is your big dream? What are you doing? What's bringing me joy? What's not bringing me joy? And then maybe restart.
Yeah. And maybe, and just because you're creating does not mean you have to sell it.
Right. Oh, so good.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you don't have to do it as a business. If that doesn't bring you any sort of joy and doesn't lead you down the path to what your big dream is, then don't.
That's such a good point, because we as a society, especially in America, we talk about like, you have a hobby. Oh, you could make money from that. It's like everything is all about you can make monetize that.
Right.
Well, sometimes you can do things just to bring you joy.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I figured that out with my Star Wars pop art that I did. It's like, well, I ain't going to be selling that because number one, it's trademarked, but whatever.
Yeah.
And they are so adorable. But because of that, you found your style.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It can lead you. I mean, you can just do things to try it. Yeah.
Exactly.
You rip it up. What do you freaking do?
Right. It's your art. You know, do what you want with it.
I know. When I ripped something up, everybody was like, oh, you could do, what was it? Make a mosaic out of it. And I was like, oh, well, I already threw it in the trash. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
It's yours.
I mean, if you're at a low point with your confidence or whatever, take a break and just, refocus and start doing something that is going to bring you joy.
Well, and try to ask yourself the questions of why am I not confident in what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. You know, really take an outsider's look at it and see, you know, because when you think about a business and they come out with a new product, there's many iterations of that product. It's like working on a project right now.
We're on Windows 11.
where you're coming, you know, where they're putting together a bundle to give to certain individuals. And, you know, the first iteration of what we thought as a design team was going to be it, we had to take a piece of it out to make it really kind of work. Mm-hmm. But we had to be really critical of what we had designed in order to get to that point, because this that particular feedback wasn't coming from the client. And when you really broke it down and evaluated it, you saw where or why the puzzle wasn't coming together. And that's, I think, what we as artists fail to do a lot of times is really look at it like a project. Okay, that's my project management side coming into play. Look at it as a project. What is wrong with this piece of work? Is it the composition? Is it the colors?
Go back to the basics.
In fact, the other day, I painted this butterfly and it was real colorful. I think I had like six colors in it. And I loved it. But then when I pulled it back out to look at it again, because I was going to paint it, paint the same butterfly again, I was like, you know, something is missing on this butterfly. Like something's not right. And I got the idea of a limited color palette by listening to another artist talk about color palettes. And anyone that knows me knows I'm like a color geek. I love color. I love pops of color. I love the psychology of color. And she suggested using a limited color palette as a challenge. I was like, you know what?
That's what I'm going to do. That was me.
And it was somebody else too.
Oh, it was somebody else. Okay.
Yeah. There was actually two of you in the same week.
That's what you had to do.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to limit this to three colors.
Cool.
And I did. And it looks so much better.
Was it analogous, complementary? What was it?
I guess it was triad. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, it looks so much more sophisticated and the piece looks better. It's just, there's so many pluses about it. Both butterflies are beautiful, but that simple little critique.
Yeah, but that you got to find the critique from someone you trust.
Well, no one else I made. That was for me.
That was stepping back
and really looking at, okay, what is really wrong with this piece? I love it, but there's something missing from it. What is missing? And it's just really digging in and questioning, you know, and if you don't know all those elements of design and principles of art and all those different things, elements of art and principles of design. Got that backwards. There are tons of really elementary level books on understanding those 12 items. Purchase one or look one up and break it down to find, I mean, you'll find your confidence in your art that way.
I think that's a great way to kind of end this. It's like, do some research, really step back, take a look at your art.
Yeah.
Where are you right now in your journey? Because your journey is not the same as someone else's.
So exactly.
Stop compare to yourself.
And all get some great ideas. Trusted friends too.
Yeah.
So let us know if you have found any other ways to help you guys keep your self-confidence up about your art and put it in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.